Today is December 31st, 2017. It's the last day of the year. It's a time that is good for us to look back and review the past, but also the new opportunities as we look ahead, look forward to the new year. This new year always seems to give us a fresh start, a new opportunity, like second chance. So we look forward to that. So a lot of people during the new year make resolutions, right? I think according to surveys, exercise and weight loss is one of the top resolutions. And I recently heard that there's even an app for how to keep track on your resolutions. How did you do that? There are some apps that they find that on February 4th, which is the 37 days after the New Year's, the sales of soft drinks and ice cream go back up. You know, during the first beginning of the year, all these items sales is way down. But then, apparently, according to survey, February 4th, all these, you know, people start to slack off and forget about the the resolutions. So today I want to share some spiritual insights on how do you prepare for the new year. And hopefully this is not just something that you would discard after the 37th day. But this, I think this is good spiritual insights of how we should begin a new year. And that is to begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. Just like what this scripture that we just heard. There were servants that the master entrusted. Two of them prepare with the end in mind. Prepare that their master will come back. But one of them did not. So let us reuse this story to remind ourselves that there are end of times. Day of the Lord is coming. For Christmas, we just finished celebrating. We celebrate the first coming of Jesus. There were many Bible verses that prophesied of the coming of Jesus. But do you know that there are even more Bible verses that talk about the second coming of Jesus? Way more than the prophecies in the first coming. For example, Jesus himself told us clearly that he is coming. In John 14, it says he was comforting his disciples. The disciple was very sad because of the news that Jesus is going to depart from them. And Jesus said, "And don't worry, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, then I will come back." Jesus promised them that he will come back. And after the resurrection, Jesus ascended before in the eyes of the disciples to show them clearly that this is the era of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus ascended into heaven, and the disciples was looking and looking. And then suddenly, an angel appeared and talked to them. "Men of Galilee, you know, why are you still looking up there? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way." So Jesus is going to come back in the same physical way. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Thessalonians, when some disciples seeing friends are dying, you know, and he says, hey, how come Jesus is not coming, you know? And what would happen to those people who died before Jesus came? And he says, Paul says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven. The Lord himself will come down from heaven. Apostle Peter, 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Because a lot of scoffers, he says, oh, what is this second coming? You know, some was laughing and scoffing and says, you know, Jesus is not coming back. But Peter, he recorded, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. You know, you don't know that, but he will definitely come. And finally, in the last verse in the Bible, Jesus himself revealed again. He says, he who testified to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. So there's no question of the second coming of Jesus. If that is so, then how come, you ask yourself, I ask myself, how come have you prepared for the coming Jesus? Are you ready? What are you supposed to do in the meantime in 2018? Today's passage offers some practical advice of how to prepare for the second coming of the Lord. With the end, prepare. Start the new year with something with the end in mind. So the verse just begin with, Again, it will be like a man going on a journey. It says again. What does that mean? Again is a repetition of what is recorded before. If you look at the scripture in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, the two entire chapters talk about the coming of Jesus, the end of times. Jesus was talking about sharing with his disciples that what will happen to the end of history. It would happen as Jesus returned. So this is the two chapters talk about Jesus keep both talking in clear language, teaching style, and also Jesus was talking in parables, one after another, not just one parable, but one after another, and talk about, and then again here he talked about. Before he was talking about, you have to be accountable, you have to be prepared, like the 10 virgins who, you know, expecting the arrival of the groom, bridegroom. So you have to be prepared. And here it talk about you have to be productive. You have to do and be productive, to be a good steward. So this is again, and Jesus is offering how we should prepare to the time that Jesus give us. Again, it's a repetition. It will be like, it here refers to the kingdom of heaven. It will be like. What it will be like? The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God will be like a man who's going on a journey and call on his servants and entrusted his property to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a master who entrusted his property to his servants. Kingdom of heaven is Lord Jesus and that's trusting his possession, what belongs to him, to you. Okay? The word entrust is important. What does entrust mean? Entrust is not just keep it safe. Entrust is not just say, don't lose it. Entrust is to do what the master would do. You see, if I entrust you something, that means, you know, I put high hope in you. You know, do as I would do. You know, if you were the master, what would you do? You know, if you have a sum of money, how would you, a normal person, and the owner would invest it to do diligent, you know. So this is, kingdom of heaven is like that. The master said, there will be a time I'll be away, but I entrust my possession into your hand. So I think this is important for us. Our worldview affects how we live today. You know, are you a person with the worldview that you are realize that you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? You know, if you have not really think about it, if you are, do not think about that you are a citizen of God's kingdom, I hope that 2018 would be a day, it would be a year that you live out this kingdom living, disciples following Jesus. Because we are Jesus' disciples. We are his citizen in his kingdom. So the master kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom, is like the master leaves and he entrusts his valuable into you. To some, servant, he entrusted 5 talents. You know, there are different translation of this. The originate is 5 bags of gold. You know, there's some people, there's a translation is 1 talent is about 75 pounds. So if it is 75 pounds of gold, how much is worth now? Well, according to Bible scholar, a talent is, okay, you don't worry about the price of gold these days. But in terms of value, is about, at that time, it's about 20 years worth of wages, okay? So it's a huge sum. You may ask, how could a master entrust this, that huge amount of money to a servant, you know? But that's not the point. The point is, this is a parable. This is a kingdom of heaven is the master who selects some servants and then says, I entrust this huge amount into your hand. Okay? What some is according to their his ability. The Bible did not say, Jesus did not specify why he entrusts someone with 5 talents, one with 2 talents, and one with 1 talent. But the point is, Jesus expects faithfulness in whatever he entrusts to you. You know, you don't have to ask, you know, I how come I only have to have 1 instead of 5? But the point is, Jesus, the master, entrusts something that is valuable to you, okay? And then the parable, I think many of you have heard this many times. And then after a long time, have you think about this word, this phrase, after a long time? What would happen if after a long time? To some of us, after a long time means wonder if this guy would ever come back, you know? Like in the Peter, Apostle Peter, some people would say, scoff at, would Jesus ever come back? And then Peter says, no, he's not delaying. He's just giving you more time, giving you another more chances. So some, after a long time, maybe, you know, after 2,000 years, do you wonder that is Jesus ever coming back? You know, maybe this idea of Jesus returning does not come across your mind at all. So today, I want to bring that back to you, your attention. And after a long time also, maybe after a while the servants keep using this money and think that these talents belongs to me. No, these talents were not yours to begin with, and it's not belong to you. So these are belongs to master. So after a long time, two of the servants keep the end in mind, but one of them totally not prepared, you know. So when we look at this, the two that prepare for the return of the master, they do entrusted this valuable and invested like what his master would do. And when the master come back and give an account, you know, tell me what you did with the money. And one servant number one says, "Hey, master, you give me 5 talents, and here I invested it, and then I earned 5 more. You know? And the master give praise. And then the second one is that you entrusted me with 2 talents, and look, I earned 2 more. You know, so you notice the master compliment to the two servants are exactly the same, word to word, verbatim. That he is exactly the same. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Exactly for the first and the second servants. So in other words, the Lord, the master praised him not because of the amount of money, but praised him for his faithfulness, for doing a good job, a faithful job. But then the third servant, he says, "Lord, I know that you are a harsh person, you know, harvest where we have not sown. So I dig a hole and hide it. You know, here, look, here's your money back." You know. You see, why would a person like that? If you have money, would you hide it dig a hole and hide it? You know? You would not do that. You know, but for this guy who do that because of his incorrect view of the master leads him to an unproductive life, you know. He thought that he have an idea of his master that is wrong, you know, because he says, "Oh, my master is very harsh, you know, if I lose it, so I better play it safe, you know, just don't lose it." He does not have the heart of the master. He says the master entrusts something, you know, and then he have a wrong view of his master, and that leads that he would do nothing, just play safe, do nothing or do little, and forget about the master trusting him to do a job that produces results. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, do we have a correct view of how a God is? You know? I don't know how about you. You know, sometimes if you have some problem, some difficulty in life, maybe you have a view of the master that, "Oh, maybe it's because I did something wrong. Or because my master is, God is not really love me. God doesn't care about me." You know, sometimes our view of our God, how our God is, dictates, influence how we do, whether how we serve, you see. So with this servant number three, the Lord says, you are not, you know, you are wicked, you are worthless. And let us not be like that. So from this parable, the important questions for us at the beginning of 2018 is, you know, as we look at a new year, you know, are we like servant number one, two, or three? You know, in the new year, we are all given new opportunities. You know, we are faced with new opportunities every day. How do we take care of the time and the opportunity that God gives us? I think that from this parable, first question we should not ask is, why I did not get as much as the other guy? You know, why I do not, I'm not as good as Fred in the computer? Why I'm not as healthy as Kevin, you know? The first question is we don't ask is why we should not, I'm not like that. You know, the servant was not, why is he getting 5 talents, I'm only getting 2. The first thing is, rather than God gives me equal opportunity, same amount of time and also new opportunity, how do I leverage these opportunities? For some of us, we may have parents with children, small children. I tell you, they grow fast, you know. I just finished visiting my grandchildren, and I had to believe that Joshua is already 9 years old. Wow, children really grow fast. How do you want your children to remember you when they are teenagers, they adults? Now God entrusted these kids to you. How do you do with them? For some new couples or soon to be, you know, God putting you together have a purpose. You know, husband and wife are to unite your life together, not just for your sake, but for the sake of the kingdom. This is new opportunity for you to grow together as husband and wife. You know, nothing grows faster than the challenges of living together as husband and wife. And as the couple, this is very unique opportunity for you to grow, mature together, and how bless others around you. For students in the new year, you know, you have new opportunities. How are you using this opportunity, the learning experience and all the people around you? How do you have, God gives you new opportunities. For many of us in the new year, maybe it's either need to start doing something new or need to stop doing something. Begin with the end in mind. You know? For myself, as I look back in 2017, you know, some of things that really time waster, you know. At that time, you don't realize that. How much you spend on Netflix and how much time you can easily spend wasted on a web browsing. Maybe I should read a new book. I purchased so many books that I have not read. And sometimes even worse is the books that I have purchased, then later on I see it again and I purchase it again, you know. Some of us have to maybe start doing something or stop doing something. Maybe bad habits, addictions. We have to get rid of it. Begin with the end in mind, you know. Your life is accountable to God, you know. 2018 is a time that God entrusted opportunity, time of life in your hand. Don't think that it is your control. You know, I recently, heard from my close relatives. Suddenly, she have cancer, terminal. I share with her sister, he says, yeah, sometimes, the other day I just go to see the dentist and suddenly realize the dentist suddenly have a stroke. You know, so young, so healthy. And then, you know, you never know. Life is not in your control. So how do you use the time that God gives you? The opportunity, the talents, the bag of gold, the value, what is valuable to the master. So finally, and towards the end, verse 28 and 29, is that take the talents from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have in abundance. Well, whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him, and throw that worthless servant outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, this servant originally is the inner circle of the master, and now he's being cast away. And you might say, oh, how come he's not fair? You know, the more one with more, with talents, or 10 talents already, he said, give it back, give it even more to him. This is not a point about fairness. This is a point about spiritual principle. You see, if you use the spiritual gift God gives you, then the principle is God is going to give you more. You see, once you apply to use God's gifts for his glory, God is going to give you more and more. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, let's say, for example, the principle, spiritual principle, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Okay? Do you believe that? And if you believe that, then once you start giving generously, God says the principle will be you'll be receiving more and more. You know? But for people who don't want to learn, experience this principle, then you'll be more and more impoverished. So the more you use it, the more you will have. That's just the way it is. So may 2018 be a spiritual, productive year for you. As we look forward, we hope this passage is talking, encouraging you to utilize the opportunities, the gifts that God gives you in this coming year. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us as we face the new year to live with a kingdom perspective, to live realizing life is not within our control. Life is not my own. We live in accountable to you. So Lord, help us to live with the end, to begin with the end in mind, knowing that you will come back soon. Even though we don't know the time, but just like the first and second servants, we just prepare for your second coming. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.